Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So, shall we look at our assignment?
Yes, please. When we start.
The person who makes no mistakes does not usually make anything. Today, do your best to make at least one colossal mistake and enjoy the whole process thoroughly. Recall the times in your life that conditioned mind would label mistakes and let yourself realize how much you have learned and grown from those mistakes. R.L., the joy of knowing there is no such thing as a mistake. Shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Yes, let's.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Ashwini and Sherry, it's Eleanor.
Hey, Eleanor.
Hello, Eleanor. Hello. I'm so happy to participate in this way. I've really been appreciating the assignments and recording, so yay. And I have a great experience to share from yesterday. I had the experience of doing an everyday task of going to the quick run to the grocery store without conditioning telling me how to do it.
And oh my goodness.
I didn't really, and I thought there were two sides, of course, lose-lose if I'm in that world. And I didn't realize I came out just most peaceful, you know, everything was smooth, and I got out and decided to record about it immediately, and I had been listening to a recording of the show before, so there was consciousness blessed upon me, but I went out to record, and I saw that conditioning usually is monitoring this activity, even though I think I'm focused on every little task that's going on. So, you know, like, and the thing that I see is the, well, let's see. So conditioning would have me stop and in a passageway, say, that was one way, and let the other people go by. So if I didn't stop, then I would get beat up on the other side for not letting them go first. But yet, if I was told by conditioning I should stop, then it was still a conditioned experience. So either way, I was doing it right or wrong, and it wasn't. It didn't work either way. So somehow I could this subtle layer of how I move around with people flowed yesterday, and I think it was just called not letting conditioning move me around.
You know, when you say that, it reminds me of our phones, right? Where there's all this stuff working in the background all the time, operating stuff in the background, and we don't know it, right? For me, the way I get a sense of it is that suddenly the phone is out of battery. And how did it get there? Because I don't seem to be using it that much, but all this other stuff is using it. So,
that's a good description. Yeah.
Yeah, and so there's conditioning operating in the background. We're not consciously aware of it until, as you say, something happens, like our batteries get low, and then we realize what a force that is. And how it's operating all the time.
That was my experience, because I thought, before I go in to do something like this, I look at my list and I bring my attention. I say, okay, we're going to, you know, be with each step. So I had no idea that there was so much going on under there, but I do know that I never really enjoyed the process that much. So I could see that. What an enjoyable process. It was so enjoyable. I mean, people were smiling. I was smiling. There was no problems at checkout, you know, no urgency or hurry. It was like, what? What's going on, you know? And, wow. It's so good.
Yeah.
So good to see.
Yes, yes, and to be aware of how quickly it's like conditioned mind is ready to pounce, mm-hmm. right? Which is why it wants people to believe at a conscious or an unconscious level that I'm going to get to a place where I don't have to pay attention like this any longer. Right? I'll just you know, really go at this, get enlightened, and then I'll be able to just coast through the rest of life. And what we realize is that whole conversation is in pursuit of go to sleep for a minute and boom, it's ready to pounce and just get right into the front of everything, right? It's no longer operating behind the scenes, now it's operating right out in front. And, of course, we're unconscious, so we don't really see the magnitude of it.
That's it. That's it. It happens everywhere, but in this situation now, I can be aware. I can watch it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And when we're aware of it, in the way you're describing, it's not operating behind the scenes, right? And then it's not a problem because we know where it is and we know what it's doing. So it's fine that it's there. It's only when we don't know that it's there and don't know what it's doing that it's going to be
that
a problem.
That we don't. Yeah, exactly. And then last night there was something happened in my yoga class when I wasn't teaching, and I said something like, I made a comment to the teacher, heaven forbid, during the class.
No.
And I was able to see it. It was like, oh, okay. You know, that's the, you know, conditioned response happened. And I was able to see that and not take the beating for it. Just said, okay,
yes.
You know, I can see that this happens. And it happens. And
Well, that happened.
Yeah, it was, and it passed right by. It was really beautiful. It was really quite nice. And
yeah, because the salient piece of that is the past tense, right? That happened. It's over. It's done. There's really no reason to have any relationship with it. That is a moment that is past. We're here.
Not going to that figure it out thing. That is just mostly for me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Eleanor.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Thank you, Eleanor. Two things about that struck me, Sherry. One, we were looking at this in group yesterday, the same assignment, and someone said something very profound. It's perfect. It is, right? And that's the perfection in it. That whatever is, because there is no alternate reality. It has completely nothing to do with what conditioning would call perfect. Right, because sometimes we squirm at the thought of, well, there are no mistakes. Well, that clearly was a mistake. But we're not looking for perfection. We're looking for acceptance of the moment because there is nothing else. But there
right.
is no alternate reality. That's why there's no mistake.
Yes. And so in that, that's such a perfect example of the perfection of that is me getting to see how I respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the yoga class. It's not about whether I say something or I don't say something. If we can step back and realize it has nothing to do with that. What it has to do with is an opportunity to see how I am with that. Does this all happen within compassion, or does it get turned over to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate?
Yes, yes. Well, and the other thing in that sense, right, that the context of life is energy, that seems to, at least in my experience, that's what life feels like. It's energy. And that condition is an energy management system. And so just like that telephone, I mean, the phone working in the background, sucking the energy from the battery, That's such a powerful image of our inattention allows for that conditioned process to drain life energy, right?
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Till from New York.
Hey, Till.
Hello there.
Hi. Okay. So yesterday's assignment, I'm not sure if I did it right because I didn't actually make the mistake on purpose. because the mind was saying, actually, that doesn't make any sense. I can't really make a mistake on purpose. I can't do anything of what I think would be a mistake. It wouldn't let me do
it's
that.
It's kind of like trying to do a random act, right? If it's intentional, it can't be random. If you're choosing it can't really be a mistake.
Exactly.
Although it can be, you can choose to do something. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, please.
Well, you could choose to do something that conditioning sees as a mistake.
Oh yes, exactly, and that would still be, I think, quite a practice to do that. Reminds me now of the duality big bamboozle assignment of letting the coin decide, like the resistance to that.
Yes.
Seems similar to doing something that conditioning says would be a mistake.
Yes, that's a perfect example, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, then the mistake that happened, which was colossal, and was even aggravated because it had to do with practice. I missed my coach call. Like, I just totally forgot about it, which I don't know has happened maybe once in the 2.5 years I've been doing this. And so then I remembered, like an hour later or so, and of course immediately the voices wanted to start the beating, and I remembered the year-long retreat assignment. So I was like, okay, so that was clearly a big mistake. So now how can I find the joy in that? And where I found then actually the joy was first to see what was happening, that it was the voices coming in with their, of course, with their usual beating. And, not having that. And then to...
That's joyful.
That was quite joyful, this identification. And then to offer compassion to the practitioner who was really, who really would have loved to have his coach called. And that was also, in that compassion for the person who unfortunately didn't get his coach call, there was also a lot of joy in that. And then I looked at further at the assignment where it says, like, okay, look at your mistakes and what to learn from them. And, of course, then I could learn how that actually happened, that I totally forgot about that call. And also I saw, well, if all I can learn from making that mistake, in quotes, is to then offer compassion to myself, then that's a great learning experience or learning opportunity.
Yes. Oh, that's all so good, isn't it? Because the voices would want you to believe. First of all, this is a big tragic mistake, right? Because it's practice and you forgot and how could you, and coaching is so important and you really love it and this is a terrible thing. And I suspect that there's a very good possibility you would not have received nearly the benefit from having that coaching call as you received from not having it.
Oh, wow, yeah, I didn't even see that. Yeah. The voices of course would say I would have achieved enlightenment during that coach call, but yeah, no, it'd be true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, in that way that we talk about of seeing every moment as a gift, we realize that even what conditioning calls mistakes and wants to frame that way, if we just stop and look at what we got out of what happened, we realize that wasn't a mistake. That was a gift.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Perfect example.
I love it. I love it. The other thing I love about it for myself is that moment of, how did that happen? Right? How?
Yeah.
Right? It's just such a, I thought I was here. And in that, for me, there is that sense of, if I had been here, I certainly would have been on that call, and I would have missed this workshop in loving kindness, compassion, gratitude, all that followed that. So is it that I'm not paying attention, or I'm lost in conditioning, or is that sort of the intelligence that animates orchestrating things so that I will be able to receive this gift? And I really prefer to think of it that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know. Yes, I know what you mean, and I don't know what it was, but I certainly also prefer to look at it that way, yes.
Exactly. Why not? Why
yes,
not?
Why
because
not?
the thing that you know is that you are doing the very best that you can do to be on those calls every single time. You cannot let anybody question your sincerity about that, right? You love the calls. You want to be on them. You benefit from them. You know, so it's not like, oh, well, he just didn't care. He just did. It just wasn't important. No. And so then we go to that place of, well, then how does that kind of thing happen? And I just find that a fascinating, not a place to noodle, but again, just to go to, it's mysterious, it's miraculous, I'm the beneficiary of all the miracles and the miraculous. Yay, thank you.
Yes, yay, yay, thank you very much. Getting kind of noisy here, so I guess I got to get off the call.
All right, we'll let you go then.
Okay.
In the big city. All right, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very
Bye-bye.
Much. Bye.
Thank you, too. Oh, that was just so fantastically inspiring, right, Sherry? Because every mistake within quotes, if we look at it from the conditioned labeling judgmental process, it is a mistake. And yet every one of those is our opportunity to change the process by which we are with what's happening, right? Which is be compassionate, look at it from the perspective of where's the gift in it, where's the miracle in it. And it's not so much that the content becomes anything different, but we get trained by life to inhabit the life perspective, the life context, not the conditioned context. And that's the gift in every one of those painful mistake situations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you just added a really good word to that, painful, because that's that's what conditioning wants to make it. Right? It doesn't actually, I don't think conditioning actually cares, of course, about whether it's a mistake or not. It's an opportunity to inflict pain. And if we don't choose to go with that, then if we choose the compassion of life instead, it doesn't matter at all what happens. It's all happening in a context of loving kindness and compassion.
Yes, well, and it also points me to that line in the Daily Recollection, right? We're born of karma, and the conditioned perspective of karma is something to overcome. But the karma is also to transcend, right? And so that place you're pointing at, that the what is the perspective that we have on what's going on? Unconsciousness or consciousness attempting to awaken to itself? Either or are possibilities. We just have a different relationship to it if we're not inhabiting the dualistic perspective that condemns it as wrong.
Yeah, it's that thing that we talk about periodically, that the way to overcome karma is to accept everything that is. Right? Because that's really all karma is. It's our particular orientation, our view, our perspective on what happens. And if we say yes to everything, that's kind of the end of karma.
Yes.
Karma becomes, gift becomes another word for karma, and we can see that it's all good.
Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. You're now live
all
on
right.
the air. Would
Thank you,
you. Introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Mark from Chicago.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, you know, the assignment that came early this morning really came right down the center line for me for some things that have been happening. I wonder if I could talk about that.
Well, sure, because we can never know that we'll have a chance tomorrow. So here we are.
So
Sherry, would it be helpful if I read the assignment now, or shall I read it?
Yes, that would be lovely, Ashwini. Thank you.
Hang on, Mark. At 20, we worry about what others think of us. At 40, we don't care what they think of us. At 60, we discover they haven't been thinking of us at all. Today, commit to practicing being you as if no one is watching. How will you be? What will you do? Without that ego self-consciousness, what's possible? Record and listen. If you catch conditioning watching you and judging, call in the mentor to remind you of who you really are. Unconditional love.
Okay. All right, Mark.
Yeah. Thanks, Ashwini, for reading that. Yeah, so yesterday I had a specific experience. I happened to run into someone that I don't really like. And I get into this, conditioning always wants me to be social, to be friendly, to make people feel comfortable. And yesterday I was just tired. I was worn out. And I thought to myself, you know, I'm not saying anything except hi. It's just hi. That's it. And then I went away from that experience thinking, gee, I wonder if she thinks I'm mad at her. I wonder what she thinks about me. And I'm going on and on. I'm wearing myself out thinking about that. And I realized that conditioning is trying to make me be somebody that I'm really not. And so when I think about practicing being me, being you, you know, I'm thinking about the wrong thing. I'm trying to be some person that I'm really not. And it's very tiring, and yet it's very easy for conditioning to reel me in, because I do feel like I should be friendly. You know what I mean? I feel like I should be sociable and make people feel comfortable, and I kind of get caught on the two sides of that.
Yeah. Well, now once again, I don't believe conditioning believes or thinks anything. Okay? It's a suffering creating system. It's an attention grabbing system. So it whatever you'll buy into is what it will torture you with. Right? Yeah. So it holds this. It keeps you in a conversation about how you should be. So it keeps everybody in a conversation about standards, how you should be, how you're not. That's That's where how things should be, how they're not. That's great suffering causing content in people's lives, right? And so the magic of practice is that you get to be present with life in the moment, with that which animates you in the moment, and respond from that.
Yeah.
Rather than from a program that has no meaning or merit at all and simply results in suffering.
Yeah, it's interesting because where I used to work before I retired, everybody was a scientist or a computer programmer. And when we would go to lunch, sometimes no one would say anything, you know, for like a minute or two, and it didn't bother anyone. Because everybody was just thinking. And and I was comfortable
with that. That doesn't tend to be a terribly social-oriented group of people.
Right. Right.
It just much more internal.
Yeah, and I realized that when I reflect on that, I mean, you know, my wife went to lunch with us one time. She came and met us at lunch, and she was, like, horrified. She says, I mean, my God, you guys don't talk to each other. And I said, you know, nobody had anything to say. And that was before I even knew about practice. And now the only other experience I've ever had like that is at the monastery where I don't feel like I have to take care of other people. You know, I don't watch them when they come into a room to try and say hello and make them feel comfortable and all that. And the whole rest of the world is still in this other quasi land where I'm not sure who I am because of what conditioning's doing to me. So those are the only two experiences I've ever had where I really feel like I can just be me, you know, who the me is.
Right. And Mark, another piece of that is to check it out, and I think that this is the experience you'll have. It's not about making other people comfortable. It's about making you comfortable.
Yeah.
Because when you're behaving that way, you're attempting to meet ego standards, and that's your best chance of getting out from under its constant criticism. So you're going to feel better if you're the person ego says you should be. We don't actually know. If you start getting chatty with that bunch of folks you used to work with, they're going to stop going to lunch with you.
Yeah, that's right.
Because it doesn't make them feel better. It doesn't make them happy. It doesn't make them comfortable. It's really uncomfortable. And so life has the ability to respond appropriately. So the assumption that woman that you met, so the story is, I don't like her. Okay. If you didn't know her, the odds are, unless you have a lot of time, you can't be out and about and stop and with everybody that you encounter to go through this program of making them happy and comfortable and that sort of thing. So the story is, you know this person. If she were just somebody you passed on the street, you might smile and say hello, and you would just keep going because, you know, that's how you would like to respond to somebody that you just passed on the street. So there's this whole story of you don't like her. And so that's what launches this. So this is how you have to be, or what is she going to think of you, which is our clue that what it's really manipulating you into is how you feel is dependent upon you meeting its standards. And that's a big knot to untie.
Yes. Yeah, and the other part of that I saw was that I like it when people try to include me when I come into a group or say hello to me or something. And I thought about that, and I thought about, well, why is that? And it's really because I'm not just comfortable with myself. It's because when I come into a group, I'm so uncomfortable, or ego makes me so uncomfortable, that I want somebody to do something to affirm the person that I'm not, who I'm not really am, you know?
Okay. Well,
it's
the other side of the same coin.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Because
yes.
Because that same voice is going to be yammering at you when you come into a room, What do they think of you? What does this mean? They're not smiling at you. They're not including you. They're not, this means something about you, right? So it's the same process, just the other side of the duality.
Right.
And I don't think it's that you're not comfortable with you. I wouldn't assume that. I think you're not with you.
Yes.
And I suspect that when you are with you, you are very comfortable with you. And we could now go future tense, you will be very comfortable with you in any circumstance, because the you that you're comfortable with is like animating a form, and that's very comfortable. Then we get into the assignment from yesterday. So life is animating a form, and you come into a room and you don't see somebody. You just don't see them. Now we're in Till's world, right? You just don't notice that they're there. You'll watch conditioning want to make some meaning out of that. But you'll realize that all this is an opportunity for you to see what conditioning does to you and for you to choose compassion for the human being over what conditioning would like you to do to it.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Lots
thank you.
To see.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sherry. I think that brings us to the end of another fabulous show.
Wow.
And the assignment of not reacting from a program, but to be here so that we can authentically be life appropriate to the moment uniquely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good addition. Appropriate and unique. Right? Ego is so cookie cutter, isn't it? So made by Mattel, and life is so unique and imaginative and creative and wonderful to be with.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Since I've already read the assignment, I think we could say adieu. And see everyone on the call tomorrow.
All right. Thank you so much, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks,
see you
everyone.
Tomorrow.
Thank you, Sherry. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.